You'll remain standing. We're going to read our first verse there on your outline, and then we're going to slip into the rest of them as we go along. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, we read, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." Let us pray. Gracious God, speak to us today through your word. May the Holy Spirit make it alive in our hearing and in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we started a new series, and the title of it is Awesome Relationships. And really, I should have preached this message last week, because the relationship that you have with God is going to affect all your other relationships. But see, because we're having baptism today, I wanted to do this one this week, because some of the folks that's going to be baptized today are going to have family members here, and I want to explain to them what's happened in their loved one's life. Because you see, your relationship with God affects all the other relationships in your life. So today we're going to talk about becoming best friends with God. I don't know if you saw this or read about it. Several months ago on the Steve Harvey show, he had two women on his show. Their names, Irene Cook and Alice Jensen. They have been friends since the first grade when they were 6 years old. Well, you think, well, there's not anything special about that. I've got a friend that I still have contact with since the first grade. Listen, the first grade's been so long ago, I don't even remember my teacher's name, let alone the classmates. But anyhow, these folks became friends when they were 6 years old, and they're still friends today. And both of these ladies are 100 years old. So they have been friends for 94 years. That's how they got on TV, okay? Probably no one in this room has a friend for 94 years. Because I don't believe we got anybody here this morning that's 100 years old, okay? But if you make it to 100, what are the chances that you'd have a friend, the same friend, for 94 years? You might have a really good friend, but just because you make it to 100 don't mean they'll make it to 100, right? So it's pretty unusual. But what I want to submit to you today is you can have a best friend longer than 94 years. You can have a best friend for all eternity. And that is, God can be your best friend, and you can be friends with Him now and in the future and forever. That's God's plan for your life. But notice there in James 4:8, it says, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." You see, that's been God's plan for us ever since the beginning of time. You see, God created Adam and Eve, and He put them in a perfect paradise called the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, they didn't have any religion, and they didn't have any rituals. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, they only had one rule. This tree here, don't eat of it. The only rule they had, okay? And every day, God would meet with them. He would walk with them and talk with them, and everything was wonderful until humans decided to break the one rule. Don't eat of this tree. And that messed things up. But notice here, God had a plan to fix the mess that us humans have made. We read about it in Romans 5:10. "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we're still His enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of His Son. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." So you see, in the garden, what happened was, is we lost our friendship with God. And then at Calvary, at the cross, that friendship was restored. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, inside the temple, there was a place where God resided, the holy place. But there was this huge curtain, a veil, that separated people from the presence of God. Now, this curtain was so big and so thick and so heavy, it took 60 men to put it up. But the Bible says when Jesus took upon himself our sins upon the cross, that curtain, that veil was cut half in two so that nothing separates us from God. We can now be friends with God again through the person of Jesus Christ. And how does God feel about this relationship? Well, if you go back to Exodus 34 and verse 14, it says, "You must worship no other God. For the Lord, He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you." Don't you ask you just a question. What are you passionate about? I mean, you know, what really gets you pumped up? What really gets you going? Well, think about it. For God, what He is passionate about is being your friend. God is passionate about having a relationship with you. Think about that. The Creator of the whole universe is passionate about you being His friend. Now, if you ever get your brain around that, it'll change your life. As a matter of fact, in Hosea 6:6, it says, God is speaking, "I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me." Think about that. What does God want from you? God wants you to know Him. God wants you to love Him. What is your whole purpose for being here? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I would say, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? What's it all about? Well, let me tell you what it's all about. It's all about knowing God and loving Him, letting Him love you, and you being in a right relationship with God. That's what life is all about. Paul spoke about this at Athens in Acts chapter 17. He said, starting from scratch, God made the entire human race. And He made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find Him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. And yet I look around and I see a lot of folks groping around trying to find their way in life. And they're never going to find their way in life until they find friendship with God. And God has made a way. He is near. All we have to do is draw near to God, and God will draw near to us. So how can I build a relationship with God? How can I build a friendship with God? I want to give you five ways. Number one, make knowing God my number one priority. In Philippians 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may know Christ." Paul said, my number one goal in life is to know God as my best friend. There's no single human being that has lived that's had a greater impact on Western civilization than the Apostle Paul. And yet he said the number one priority in his life was knowing God. Now, I try to do this every day. I don't know that I've done it every day, but I try to do it every day. When I wake up, before my feet ever hit the floor, I try to have this little prayer before I ever get out of bed. And it's just simple. I say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to love You more and know You better. I want to love You more and know You better. So I want you to just try that. Try it for a week before you ever get out of bed. The first thing to come out of your mouth, God, no matter what else I do today, I want to love You more and know You better. And see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. But we're talking about priorities. What's the number one priority in your life? What's the most important thing in your life? Well, I've done some research this week. I wanted to find out what was the number one priority of Americans. What do you think it is? Well, they've done some research, and the latest poll that I could find was done in December by CBS News. And CBS News went out and sampled a cross-section of Americans and said, what's the number one thing in your life? What's the number one priority that you think life should be all about in America? Not around the world, in America. What should be Americans' number one priority? And let me tell you what Americans said their number one priority was. Terrorism. Number two was the economy. All right, now let me just tell you how messed up that is, okay? I think fighting terrorism is important. I think the economy is important. But it shouldn't be our number one priority. Did you know more Americans died last year by being struck by lightning than by terrorists? Now let that sink in for a minute. How many Americans were killed by terrorists in America last year? And yet America says, this is our number one priority. This is the number one thing we're concerned about. This is the number one thing we're worried about. Well, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Let me tell you what America's number one priority ought to be, knowing God. Let me tell you what your number one priority ought to be, what my number one priority ought to be. It ought to be knowing God. And if my number one goal is to seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, God says, all this other stuff, I'll take care of that. Jeremiah, the prophet, said it this way in chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Are you doing that? Are you really doing that? Are you seeking God with all of your heart? Because if you are, God says, if you do that, you'll find Him. You want God to be your best friend? Huh? But you know, I ain't never been a very big guy. And on the playground, they always pick on the little guy. They call that a pecking order. You know, if you got chickens, some of you raise chickens, there's a pecking order in the hen house, all right? Well, when you're a little guy, guess what? You're on the bottom of the pecking order. Everybody bigger wants to pick on you. So you know what I discovered? I discovered if I make friends with one of the big guys, I didn't get picked on so much. Well, think about it in life. Who you want to be your best friend? President of the United States? Bill Gates. Well, why not make the God of the universe your best friend? If you seek Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him. Number one, make God, knowing God, your number one priority. And then number two, slow down and be quiet. Slow down and be quiet. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Slow down and be quiet. Y'all know I got a brand new little grandson. He's about 6-7 months old. And we're excited about him. But he hadn't got to the point yet where he can walk and talk. All right? We're waiting for that to happen, okay? And I know what's going to happen when it happens. You won't be able to stop him. He's just going to be talking and jumping and bouncing off the wall. But think about that. From the time we're born, we want them to do what? We want them to walk and talk and run. And then God says, what do we need to do? You need to slow down and be quiet. Well, some of us, we learned how to talk and walk, and we hadn't slowed down and got quiet yet. Well, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. You see, any friendship that you have is going to take time. And you got to invest some time in order to develop a friendship. So you got to spend some time with God. Slow down and be quiet. In Psalm 25 and verse 14, it says, the Lord is a friend to those who reverence Him. With them, He shares the secrets of His covenant. Well, if you'll reverence God, if you'll slow down, you'll spend some time with Him. God says, I'll share my secrets with you. Do you have some secrets? Who do you share them with? You share them with everybody? Or do you only share those that are close with you? Would you like to know the deep things of God? Let me tell you how that happens. You got to slow down and be quiet and be still before God. And then God, in those quiet times, He will reveal Himself, and the deep things of God will be revealed to you. You see, the problem is we're in such a hurry. Think about it. Those of you that have kids, how many times have you said this past week? Hurry up, we got to go. Hurry up, we're going to be late. Hurry, 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 hurry. I mean, we live a hurried lifestyle, do we not? You see, what the problem is in America, we try to do too much in too little of a time. I read where a guy from Great Britain came to the United States. He toured all 50 states in 12 months. And he wrote about his experiences and all the things he liked about America. But one of the things he didn't like about America, he said, everything is hurry, 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 hurry. And he said, and I asked myself, why is that hurry, hurry, hurry all the time? He said, because in America, time is money. What a sad commentary on our lifestyle. On the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, and when you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production either. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. You see, if the only time that you spend time with God is when you come to church on Sunday, you're never going to know God as your best friend. You're just going to know God as an acquaintance. You got to get alone. You got to spend time with God. You got to slow down, be quiet, and listen to God speak. The other night I was watching television. I couldn't find anything that was entertaining. And I just kept surfing through the 100-plus channels. And I came to the National Geographic Channel. And they have this show, it's called Below Zero. And it's about these five people that live right at the Arctic Circle. And one guy, I really liked what he said. He said, up here, it's not that life is simpler. He said, life is slower. You see, when you live within 50 miles of the Arctic Circle, there's just a couple of things you have to worry about. But life is not run, run, hurry, hurry. So many times, we miss out on the friendship of God because we're busy. Number three, decide whose friendship you want most. You can't be best friends with everybody. Have you figured that out yet? In 1 Timothy 6:21, it says, some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. What's the most important thing in life? It's to know God. It's not to know things about God, but to know God and to have a relationship with Him as your best friend. Speaking of television, there was a new show that came out, a miniseries last Sunday. I don't know if you saw it. And the name of it is The Story of God. Now that, you say, you know, as a person of faith, that sounds like something interesting. That sounds like something that I'd like to see. The Story of God. And guess who's hosting the program? Morgan Freeman. I mean, you know, he's the guy who plays God on Bruce Almighty, right? He's got this awesome voice. He's a recognized artist. And you think, man, this is going to be really good. The Story of God, they've got a famous person who's going to host all of it. This is really going to be good, right? No. It's a bad, bad, bad idea. You say, why, preacher? Well, Morgan Freeman's an atheist. So you got a show, the title of it is The Story of God, and the guy's going to tell the story is an atheist. You know how much sense that makes? That's as much sense as the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan doing a TV show on Black History Month. You'd say, what? That's messed up. Well, having an atheist to tell the story of God is just messed up. Why is that? Well, he's missed the most important thing. What's the most important thing? Knowing God. This guy doesn't know him. He don't think you can know him, but he's going to tell the story of God. Well, James 4:4 says, so are you loyal to God? You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy. Wow. Now, the Bible uses world in two different ways. For example, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's talking about the people. God loves the people of the world. But in this verse here, it says, if you love the world, you are an enemy of God. He's talking about the value system of this world. If you've been keeping up any with the political debates, you understand that there was a firestorm when one of the candidates accused the other candidate of having New York values. Well, what does it mean to have New York values? Well, I'm not a New Yorker, okay? But I would say that when I think about New York City, when I think about all of the crime, when I think about all the immorality, when I think about the greed of Wall Street, when I think about all of those things, that's what I think about when I think of the world's value system. And you see, if you're friends with somebody, you got to value the same things. You can't be a friend with somebody who doesn't value what you value. The Bible says it this way, how can two walk together lest they agree? Well, Jesus is just simply saying, you got to find out and discover what's most important. If God is most important to you, you cannot be a friend to the values of this world. And yet, sadly today, so many people on the inside of the church don't walk, don't dress, don't talk, don't act any different than the people of the world, which is enmity to God. In John 15, 14, by the way, we're going to have an excellent Sunday school lesson today about John 15. He said, you are my friends if you obey me. Are you a friend of God? It's real easy to decide. It's real easy to determine. Do you obey what he says? If you do not obey what he says, you're not a friend of God. Jesus said, you are my friend if you obey what I command. You want me to tell you why I obey what Jesus commands? It's not because I'm afraid of him. It's not because I think God's going to zap me if I don't. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. You see, Jesus is my best friend, and I obey him because I love him. That's our motivation. As a matter of fact, he goes on in verses 9 and says, I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Are you filled with God's joy? Does the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ just fill you up, bubble over, and run out? Does it overflow? Well, that's the kind of life God wants you to have if he's your best friend. I got saved when I was in high school. Never been to church, didn't know anything about God. Somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I made that commitment. I didn't understand it all back then. I don't understand it all now, but I can tell you what, I like the parts I understand, okay? But I remember I got saved, and I was trying to live for the Lord, and one of my buddies told me, he said, you're restricted. I said, I am? What are you talking about? What happened? He says, you're a Christian. You're restricted. I said, from what? He says, well, you can't have fun. I said, what do you mean you can't have fun? Well, you can't have fun like the rest of us can. I said, oh, no, you got it all wrong. Listen, I smoke all the dope I want. That's right. I take all the pills I want. I drink all the booze I want. I go to all the parties I want. I sleep with all the girls I want to. I said, I just don't want to. I said, because when Jesus came into my heart, he changed my want to. I don't want to fill up my mind with the mush of drugs and alcohol. I don't want to sleep with this girl and this girl and this girl and come up with every kind of disease. I said, listen, sin has a kick, but sin has a kick back. I said, you can get the real thing knowing God, knowing him in a personal way, or you can keep drinking at this fake fountain of happiness. See, you got to decide whose friendship is most important. And I hope you'll choose Jesus as your most important relationship. And then number four, the fourth way you make God your best friend is to maintain a constant conversation. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray all the time. Now, how often are you supposed to pray? All the time. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is just conversation. You ever talk to your best friend? All right, well, prayer is just talking to God. Well, what happens when you talk to somebody? There's generally a two-way part of it. That is, you talk and you listen. And so, what do? You talk to God, but you also listen to God. Now, here's the thing that I find amazing. In Islam, they teach that you have to do five things very well. And if you do them very well your whole life, you might get to go to heaven. And one of those things is prayer. And a devout Muslim has to pray five times a day. Well, God says pray all the time. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you're just in a conversation with God all the time. Does that mean you're talking to God all the time? That's not much of a conversation if you're doing all the talking. You see, conversation means I'm talking to God, God's talking to me. And so if God's talking to me, it means I'm spending a good amount of time just listening to God speak to me. How do you pray all the time? You talk to God, you listen to God. Let me ask you something. What would your life be like if you prayed as much as you text? What would happen if you prayed as much as you play video games? What would happen if you prayed as much as you watch television? You see, the key to making God your best friend is you got to spend some time with him. Constant conversation. But evidently, some people have a problem with talking to God. You see what happened in the news this past week? Wendy Pyle. You can't make this stuff up. You know that, right? Wendy Pyle. She's got to be kin to Gomer, okay? Wendy was pulled over for speeding by an Indiana state trooper. I don't like getting pulled over by any of them, but the state troopers, they're tough, okay? She gets pulled over, and what does he do? He writes her a warning ticket. Thank you, Jesus, for warning tickets, right? Well, after he gave her the warning ticket, he asked her a question. He said, ma'am, do you go to church? She said, yeah. He said, ma'am, are you saved? She said, I am. He said, all right, God bless you, have a good day. He goes back to his church, and he puts her name on the prayer list. Well, this woman, Wendy Pyle, one of her friends said, hey, your name is on the prayer list at our church. Well, how did he get there? Well, this trooper put your name on the prayer list. So guess what? She's mad, and she has sued the state of Indiana, and she has sued the trooper, Brian Hamilton, and he has been fired from his job. Now get this, she is suing for damages. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. I'm speeding, I get pulled over by a Christian trooper who lets me go and prays for me, and I'm going to sue him. You know what I say? I say, God, may the next one write her a ticket. And if she badmouths him, let him arrest her and put her in jail. And then maybe she'll appreciate somebody praying for her. But folks, that's how messed up our world is today. That's how messed up it is. Ken, I was visiting a guy in the hospital. He'd never been to his church, but he's a family member of one of our church members. Somebody said, if you're up there, would you go by? I was there, so I stopped by. It's a courtesy call, and I come in, and I said, it would be all right if I prayed for you. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need any prayer. I said, really? Well, I'll tell you what, let's pray anyhow, but you pray for me because you see, I need prayer. He said, well, if you put it that way, I need prayer too. Let's pray. So we prayed, okay? But how can I be friends with God? I got to talk to God. I got to spend some time talking to God. I want you to write this down on your outline. Write this down. There's a space down there at the bottom. I am as close to God as I want to be. I'll repeat it. I'm as close to God as I want to be. You got it written down? Now read it. Let me tell you how close you are to God. You're as close as you want to be. All right? Then number five, and this may be the most important thing I'm going to say. If you don't hear anything else, I hope you hear this. If you want to build a friendship with God, trust God in your pain. Trust God in your pain. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Let me know what I've noticed in life. We talk to our acquaintances. We talk to them about the weather. We talk to them about our hobbies. We talk to them about stuff on the surface. But we trust our friends. Let me tell you what we do when we let our hair down and we tell folks the things that we struggle with, the problems that we have, the things that we don't want everybody else to know. You know what? We trust our friends. You have somebody like that that you can just tell anything to? Well, God is that kind of friend. God wants to be that kind of friend for you to trust Him with the pain of life. If you haven't figured this out yet, life is full of pain. We live in a broken world, folks. When sin entered into the world, a curse entered into the world, and no matter how hard you try, we live in a broken world. I'm a broken person. You're a broken person. And there is pain in a broken world made up of broken people. Sometimes the very people that we love the most cause us the greatest amount of pain. So what are you going to do with that? You're going to trust God with the pain in your life. Now let me tell you why I said this is the most important thing I want to say to you. Bitterness is the greatest barrier to friendship. Bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is unresolved anger. Something has happened to you. It wasn't right. You didn't think it was right. You got mad, but you didn't get it resolved. That unresolved anger turns into bitterness. What does bitterness do? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I want you to circle that word, bitter root. Let me tell you what a bitter root in your life is. This is where you've been done wrong, you've got some pain in your life, you got angry over it, and you never resolved it. Then what started growing on the inside of you is a bitter root. Now let me tell you why that's important. I've got this same verse in a different translation. I want you to look at it from the Good News Bible. Guard against turning back from the grace of God. Let no one become like a bitter plant. How do you become a bitter plant? You have a bitter root that grows up and causes many troubles with its poison. You see, bitterness poisons all of your relationships. If you had somebody to do something bad to you when a child, you're still angry about that. You're still bitter about that. Did you know it poisons every relationship you have? So how can I have a friendship with God? I got to get rid of the bitterness. How can I have friendship with other people? I've got to make sure the things between me and God are okay. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of folks that used to be in church that are not in church anymore, and the reason is they're mad at God. God done went and let them down. And they're mad at God, and the bitterness has set in. Let me tell you how this works. I saw this bitter root thing happen in my own life this past week. It's pretty fresh. Well, 2016's had some challenges for the Bean family. In January, my wife went to 10 different doctors, 9 different specialists. Since then, she's had 4 surgeries. Outside of all of that kind of stuff, we've had some other stuff, just like you've had some other stuff, right? And after a while, that stuff kind of piles up. But this past week, now my wife, she is really good. She goes online every day. Every day she goes online, checks our stuff. She checks it because I got a debit card. I buy gas with my debit card. You know, I buy a meal with my debit card. Well, she goes online, makes sure I've turned in all the receipts so that the checkbook balances. And she checks our account every day. She got up one day this past week and she opens it up, and guess what happened? Somebody hacked in to our BB&T account, and they wiped out all of our money. I was mad. I was talking to one of our church members, and they said, "How's it going?" I said, "I'd like to hurt somebody right now." This guy said, "Preacher, now that sounds like something I'd say, not like something you could say. Now you can't be talking like that." And I thought, well, you know, I guess I'm pretty mad. I probably need to blow off some steam. Well, so I decided I was going to go out in the woods. I was going to get my gun. I was just going to blow something up, okay? Well, I didn't take my .22. I took my .357 Magnum. I wanted something to go boom, okay? So I go out there in the woods. I put my target out there. I took me a whole bag of ammunition. Gary, I shot the whole bag. I mean, boom, 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 boom. Right, that's going to relieve some stress. I come back up to the house. Teresa's there, and it wasn't about 30 minutes later. And I've done got smart with her, got ill with her. Hey, you talk about the Holy Spirit kicking you in behind. I mean, last Sunday I just preached on having an awesome marriage, and here it is 3 days later, and I am flunking out. Let me tell you what happened. You see, I got angry. But is the anger justified? I think it's justified. Somebody steals your money. It's okay to be angry. But see, the anger was unresolved. I let that anger, instead of being resolved, I let it turn into a bitter root. And when it turned into a bitter root, what's happening? It's poisoning my relationship. You see, my wife hadn't done anything, but she's taking the brunt end of it. And you see, that's what happens to us. When we have bitterness in our life, what we don't understand is it's just not bitterness towards something or somebody. If we don't take care of it, it affects all of our relationships. And see, God wants you to be, He wants to be your best friend. See, let me tell you how I handled it. I just had to get on my knees and I just had to say, "God, I'm mad. I'd like to pinch somebody's head off right now. God, I'm probably never going to know who done this. The bank's probably never going to know who done this. But God, You know who did it. God, I can't fix it. I can't fix them, but God, You can." But here's, God, what I want You to do. I want You to take all this anger that I have, and God, I'm just going to place it on You. I'm just going to turn it over to You. I'm just going to trust You to handle it. And you see, God is your best friend. You can trust Him with the pain that is in your life. He can do something about it. Well, in closing, I want to say a special word to a couple of people this morning. Verse 1 is for those that have drifted away. That is, you know God. God's been your friend in the past, but you have drifted away. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of Your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." This is King David, a man after God's own heart. Notice here, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. How did he lose his joy? He had drifted away from God. Some of you here today, you believe in God. You have trusted Him, but you have drifted away. You have not put the time and the energy and the effort in building a relationship with God. And God says, "Listen, I want your joy to be full. Come back home. Come back to Me." As a matter of fact, Jeremiah says, "If you return to Me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve Me." You're to influence them. Don't let them influence you. You're to influence the world, The world's not to influence you. If you return to God, he said, I will restore you. And then second, a special word for those that are facing trouble right now. Psalm 91:14 says, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you only get to know and to trust me. You have a friend that you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it don't matter what it is, they'll be there. All you have to do is to make that call. Well, I want you to know all of us have a friend. We can call that friend at 2 or 3 or 4 at any time, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so if you're facing a trial, you're facing a trouble, you're facing a difficulty, God is just saying, get to know me and trust me, and I'll take care of you. And then lastly, God has a word for those who have never trusted Christ. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. See, if you want to be the best husband you can be, the best wife you can be, the best father you can be, the best mother you can be, the best child you can be, you see, your relationship with God affects all your other relationships. At the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have baptism. One of our baptismal candidates told me this past week. Said, growing up, my grandparents were godly people. I looked up to them, and they influenced me for good. It says, but then as I got older, it said, my grandparents died. And when they died, I quit going to church. I quit seeking spiritual things. It says, after they died, it said, I just kind of wandered around. It said, my marriage ended up in divorce. It said, everything in my life was going wrong. And so one day, I woke up and said, all right, God, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be more to life than this. And that person said, and then I visited Anthony Grove. Said the first time I walked in, I felt like I was at home. They went on to say, now I have a family. I have a spiritual family. That person's going to be baptized today. And said, you know, at first I asked my spouse, hey, come with me to church. And they said, no, I'm not interested. And said, after I'd been coming a couple of months, and my spouse says to me, he said, you know what? You have a different attitude now than you used to have. There's something different about you. You're changed. I think I'll go with you. And then they said, you know what? And now they're coming with me, and they love it. Let me see what these people are discovering. They're discovering if you make God your best friend, it makes you a better person. And when you're a better person, it improves your other relationships. So, you want to have awesome relationships? It begins by making God your best friend. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who would come today and say, God, I'm going to make you my number one priority. I wonder who would come today and say, I've just been rushed, and God, I'm going to slow down and be quiet. I wonder who will come today and say, God, I don't want to be a friend with the world. God, I want you to be my best friend. I'm wondering who would come today and say, God, I'm going to talk to you more. But even more than that, I'm going to listen to you more. And then lastly, I wonder who's here today and you've let a bitter root take place in your heart. And you need to come today and just turn it all over to God. Let God get rid of the bitterness. Let God get rid of the anger. Let God take away the poison. Let God make you the best person you can be. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have this time of commitment and invitation, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, may we step out in faith and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.